When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, here we go. It's the Cop Hype Podcast.
Get in. Get in. Oh, thank Christ for that. Oh, welcome back, everybody. Liverpool, I've just defeated Tottenham Hotspur 3-1. Jay's back on the pod. It's Mick, and I'm delighted to be joined by Nat Phillips, who's just in the Tottenham Hotspur changing room. Nat, well played tonight, mate. Appreciate it.
Cheers, lad.
Nice one,
Mick, we'll come to you first, mate. Obviously, the game starts very, very dramatically, if you want to say. Manny has a really... Should be putting that away, shouldn't he? And then Son puts one in the back of the net, and then he's reeled out for VAR, but you're thinking after Son's put it in the back of the net, you think, fucking hell, here we go again. Manny misses a chance, and Son scores. You think, fuck, here we can't catch a break. What was your initial thought when Son put that ball in the back of the net?
The opposite of what Gavin's just said. So whatever the opposite of we're back, baby, is, so we're not back, baby. I was like, it's fucking happening again. Because yeah. Mane should score, like you say, Jay, and then they go down the other end. And it was like a carbon copy of their goal at Anfield where Son scores, like a breakaway goal, and you're like, fuck's sake.
And then when we just scored.
Yeah, and his fucking toenails offside.
Yeah.
So, you touch cloth. No, I did, because I was like, fuck's sake, it's happening again. But then, VAR came to our rescue. And, up that way and given, because obviously we then scored at the perfect time at the end of the half to fucking send us into the second half in the best possible shape.
Yeah, Tim, we sort of controlled the game, didn't we, from the get-go, minus that little bit at the beginning. It did look like we were very, very comfortable straight away. And I thought that was brilliant of the lads, because it was so important that going to Tottenham, the way they've been playing recently, you think, right, we need, and playing a fucking Mourinho side as well, we needed to make sure that we were controlling that game, and we certainly did. And like Mick just said, you know, scoring just at half-time as the whistle was blowing is just the perfect way to go in, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. It was exactly what was needed for the half. I think had we not been 1-0 up at the half, I think that we would have been a little shaky when we came out, because I think that's what's been occurring for the last few weeks as we go into a half 0-0, having created a little bit here and there, could have scored a couple of times, and then half an hour into the second half we concede, and all of a sudden it's a completely different game. It was a really, like, we looked like the team we have been for the last 2 years. We looked totally dominant, and I don't even think Spurs were that bad. I think we were just really, really good. So, yeah, really, really good to see, and hopefully this now carries into the next few games.
Yeah. Mick, I mean, in terms of the first half itself, you know, in terms of standout performances, I think your boyfriend did really well, didn't he? The way he was controlling that tempo. And it was nice to see him getting forward, because we did want to see him getting into that final third a bit more. And what I really liked as well is the way he was linking up with Bobby and Mo and Mane. It looked as if that, they were sort, I wouldn't say they were back to their old selves again, but it looks like all three of them were in sync again.
what I can say is they look like there was a sharpness there. I think Bobby proved that. Like in that position he plays, he's bound to give away the ball away sometimes, and you've just got to go, right, fuck's sake. It's like, I think of it like Luis Garcia, for example. He was an absolute genius, but he gave away the ball away a load of times, and you've just got to put up with that. If you want some creativity, you've got to take the bad with bad with the good. That's just the way it is. But he was Thiago was just, I think, I was watching like an American stream, and it was like NBC, and Lee Dixon was like, I think Lee Dixon went above and beyond anything I've ever said. He was like, oh, Thiago, the way he hits the ball, it sounds different when you're listening to it in the stadium. I was like, fucking hell, Lee, mate. I mean, now I go on like, well, fucking hell, tone it down a bit. But he was top class. Few stray passes, but like, I think he misplaced one, and you could hear Hendo going, Thiago! And he was just like, just screen at him going, demands perfection. And that's what Hendo brings to the team, because when he's not there, there's no voice there. And I think when you've got Hendo and Millie in the same team, that's when you know you're gonna be flying, because there's two big voices there and two big characters who are going to be pushing you from different positions tonight, from defence and midfield.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Well, obviously, we go into half-time thinking, fucking get in, we're winning again. We scored a goal for a fucking start, which is just orgasmic in itself. And then we come out the second half and we're fucking straight away we get a golden opportunity to put another one in. But then obviously a couple of minutes later, there's a nice little cheeky ball in from the left-hand side. Mane has a shot. Keeper, don't know what the fucking keeper's doing there, to be honest. He shouldn't be putting it in those areas, but glad he did, because Trent fucking comes up with a nice little strike and makes it 2-0. Thoughts on that goal?
Yeah, superbly well taken. I mean, keeper spills it, you've got to put it away. You can't kind of leave an opportunity like that on the table. Trent put his foot through it into the floor. Superb finish. It was perfectly taken. I mean, Lloris seems to constantly have howlers against us, so I think he should have come out to claim the first ball as well, the Mane cross. And like you said, I mean, it's normally parry that around the post, surely, or you don't parry it back into play. But you got to give Trent his due. You know, he was back to his normal self, and that was, you know, Trent of 2 weeks ago would have probably put that over the bar, or you just got that feeling. But tonight, you know, as he was running onto that ball, you had a feeling that he was gonna stuff that in the back of the net.
Yeah, definitely, mate. But again, the Tottenham curse happens again, doesn't it, mate? Because like you said, in the reverse fixture at Anfield, we scored and then we shut off and we let them score. Nearly happened again at the beginning of the match, and then within a couple of minutes, Højbjerg is free on the edge of the area. And to be fair to him, it's a fucking great strike.
Yeah, it's a boss strike. I mean, he's not closed down, but the counter just go ahead then. Hit it the best you can. It's not going to go in. And then he just fucking pulls a worldie out and it flies in. Like, there's nothing.
Who was it a couple of years ago, Mick? Mick, who was it who did the same at Anfield? Do you remember the fucking crazy 2-2 game in 17-18? He someone hit a fucking pearler
outside of the area. Wanyama?
It just reminded me of that. But yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, well in. Weezer said it as well. Nice one. carry on, Mick.
Yeah, it was a great strike, but it's like, of all the people you wanted to fall to, you're like, it's Højbjerg, and you're like, well, he's not going to score from there, and we don't close him down. If you're going to be a bit negative, you say you should close that down, but everyone was behind the ball, and I suppose that we were kind of just maybe riding the wave of just getting the second goal, and that's what they say, like, you're more vulnerable after you've just scored. And I think that proved the case there. I mean, it gave us a kick up the arse as well, so I'm glad it kind of happened in a way.
Yeah, it's a good point there, mate, because I didn't feel like, even after that goal, I didn't feel like we were getting sort of peppered anymore. I didn't think it gave Tottenham a lease of life. And Tim, I felt like we started controlling the game a bit more, because like Mick just said, it did give us a kick up the arse. And I'm not saying we've turned the corner yet, because it's only one fucking game, not getting ahead of myself, but the Liverpool of old, over the last couple of years, usually when they get ahead in a game, they don't tend to lose it. They just go, right, well, it's back to a goal deficit, or, you know, we're only a goal ahead. Let's fucking go and get the third one.
Yeah, I think that outside of the first 10 minutes, had we not been on this current run of form, Yeah. Had that been a normal game, if we were in regular Liverpool form and we had opened up that first 10 minutes and then dominated the game the way we had, I think that we would come out here and say, oh, it was really comfortable, dominant win. You know, we've never really looked like losing. But we always, because of the current run of form, it kind of felt like, oh, you know, this is the kind of time where we would blow a lead like this, or we'd come out and play really, really well and something would bounce our way, a VAR call would go against us and give away a stupid goal. So, yeah, I mean, we have to kind of not be prisoners of the moment and understand that when Liverpool are playing like that, they're a top three club in the world, if not the best. I mean, they're almost impossible to play against when they're having their day. And today we looked absolutely superb again. It was fantastic to see and honestly quite relieving considering the, you know, what's going on around the league at the moment with people dropping points the last couple of days and obviously Arsenal now going to visit Man United or at home to Man United. So that's potential considering Arsenal's good form and having Man United struggled as well. So Man City have De Bruyne out and, you know, Vardy's out for Leicester. So it's starting to creep into place where if we made a run, it would put us right back into the mix with the likes of City and United to really challenge for this.
Fucking hell, Tim. Not finished talking about the game yet. Fucking hell.
Sorry.
But before we get to the third goal, Tim, Mick, I want to talk about the disallowed goal. Because obviously we did put the ball in the back of the net for a third time. It was disallowed. Again, you know, it's just fucking pissing me off. I mean, at the end of the day, it is clear handball from Bobby, so I'm not disputing that at all. The build-up to it was great. I thought Thiago was great when he came back on with his head band and he fucking plays a nice little ball through and Mané is in. But it was just frustrating, wasn't it? Because the ball's come off Dyer. He's manhandling him anyway. And then it goes off Bobby's arm. So it's 6-1 after the other, but I don't see why they got a free kick out of it.
I honestly don't know. Like, if it didn't hit Dyer's hand or arm first, then you'd be like, yeah, fair enough. But it's hit his arm, then he's getting fucking wrestled as well. So, of course, his arm's going to be flailing everywhere. It hits his arm, and then we obviously... Salah scores a boss goal at the end of it, and obviously it's fucking chalked off, and you're like, fuck's sake. But I'm not that... Like, if it had an effect on the final result, then I'd be more pissed off at the fact that we've won. It's not the end of the world, thankfully, for us.
Yeah, but like I said, after that, the heads didn't go down, did it? It wasn't like we were fucking downhearted about it. We just went on and ended up fucking scoring. And then Mick, Trent's ball for Mane's goal, fucking hell. Brilliant.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. He was so good tonight, and I think that's what we need. Like, he just looked like he had a spring in his step, like that he hasn't had. Like, the last couple of games, like, we've been not been in the best run of form. He just looks like his head's just firmly up his own arse. Like, he doesn't know what to do with the ball. He's scared to get hold of it. He's scared to cross. He's scared to run with it. Whereas tonight, he was picking it up, running forward, running into the spaces, playing 1-2s and, like, playing balls in behind. Like, the stuff that we know he can do and what he's so good at. And it's nice to see that. And then, getting a goal as well in the game is just ice on the cake for him. And I want more of that. Like, a goal and assist in a game of that magnitude where we needed to win proves just how good he is and why, for me, he's the best in the world in that position. And I think he just needs to prove that a bit more often. I know he's had a few injuries and COVID and whatever else and no pre-season, but it's time to show step up. And the only thing I wish with Trent is that I wish he'd just throw a few more tackles in terms of a bit more strength in the tackle. I think he's a bit too flimsy when he puts his foot in sometimes. I think that's a bit of a criticism, I would say, that I wish he'd just put his foot right through someone and just fucking, like, Millie done it loads of times. Like first half, Millie wasn't great. Second half, fucking hell, he was flying everywhere. And it's stuff like that, that even just a tackle can just give you an extra 2% for the rest of the game because it just G's you up. Same as, like, when it happens with a full crowd and the crowd gets going. If you do it with no fucking fans there and you put a crunching tackle in, it just sets the tempo a little bit. I just, that's what I want from him more. I want him to step up to the plate and do stuff like that. And he did it tonight when he's done us talking on the pitch with the fucking a goal and assist. So I can't complain.
Spot on, mate. Well said. There's some good stuff going in the comments. Just want to cover off a couple of things that the lads have said in the comments here. So while it's about Nat Phillips, I'm going to go to Nat Phillips. He's doppelganger. David has said, we sort of knew we would step up to the bigger team. A big challenge with the next two against West Ham and Brighton. Please, no more board draws. But what Dave said as well is Nat showed why he should have started over Reece. Now, Tim, just very quickly, mate. Again, Phillips didn't have much to do, especially because Harry Kane wasn't on the field. But there were times where there were some last-minute tackles, and I think Phillips did show his worth. And I think that's why a lot of people over the last few weeks have been clamouring for him to play again, isn't it? And why it's been a bit eyebrow-raising why he hasn't played.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. I'm not going to sit here and defend what I've said, because I've said that, you know, he shouldn't be playing. We should either be bringing in a centre back or, you know,
yeah, just
bringing in a centre back. But
absolutely,
I think he's probably made it clear now that he's probably the better of the two choices between him and Reece Williams. And that's obviously not to say that Reece Williams has been absolutely awful. He's been actually pretty good. He's made one or two mistakes in the 10 games he's played, so he's not exactly been dire. But yeah, Nat Phillips, he's got an eye for the ball. You know, he's a ball hawk. He goes after that thing, and he's tenacious. And sometimes that's just the kind of shit you need in a team. You need someone to put in. Like, he came on and got booked in 5 minutes, and I was like, oh shit, like this is dangerous territory, because he's just going to fly into absolutely everything. But sometimes that's what you need, and it looks like at points we kind of need that as a defender instead of a ball-playing defender, especially if he's going to be consistently playing alongside of a midfielder, which it looks like he is, because Matip, you know, I think someone sneezed near him and he tore his quad or something stupid, because that's Joel Matip.
Yeah.
But I just don't know what's going on with the Matip situation. And we were all eyebrow raised when he went off, but again, we'll probably do something over the weekend regarding the transfer deadline day anyway, but again... If Matip going off doesn't fucking say anything about us needing a centre-half, then I don't know what will, but we'll see what happens. But let's keep to the fucking positivity. I want to see what Martin said here. Question for you all. With Al Milner has played the last two games, would you play him against West Ham? Mick, I'm going to give this one to you. You touched on it before, how fucking amazing Millie was. And again, he's thrown himself into tackles in the 93rd, 94th minute, and he's just absolutely incredible. Me and Martin are the exact same age as James Milner, and I couldn't fucking do that sort of shit. Martin will probably tell me, Martin will probably put in the comments now that he can fucking do it. But, mate, does he start against West Ham?
I think he's got a fucking good case. I mean, you know what's funny? I've seen a few Spurs fans, like, putting, like, memes up, like, Ndombele up against Milner, and, like, it was some old man just getting, like, absolutely raped. And it's like, well, on paper, not actually raped, you know what I mean? But, you know, like, getting torn apart. But on paper, that's what should be happening. Like, he should be taking him to the fucking cleaners. Like, Millie's, like, 35 now. He's an absolute machine. And the fact is, like, the first half, he weren't too good, but he was still all right, but second half, he just fucking thought, fuck this. And like, he's made a real case for himself, and the fact that he's still doing that shit at that age is just, it's commendable. Careful. And like, it's, yeah, if he starts against West Ham, who the fuck can complain, because he was fucking boss second half there.
Well, that's it, because the one team that you, when you look at the league table, the one team you want to be playing next is West Ham, because we can put a gap between us. I can't believe I'm just fucking said that sentence. We can put a gap between ourselves and West Ham. It's just fucking mad, isn't it? But yeah, we go into that game at the weekend now, and you just think to yourself, right, I mean, the fact that it's away anyway just pisses me off, but, you know, hopefully it doesn't have much bearing on the game with the no fans and stuff. But yeah, I think putting that gap between us and West Ham would make us feel completely better, wouldn't it, Tim, based on last Sunday's result and, you know, the way we've been feeling the last 2 weeks. Again, it's funny football, and it's funny how fucking quick it could change. And just on that, I fucking knew he'd come in and say it. Look, mate, I knew he'd say it. He probably could, to be fair, because he's a very talented footballer, is our Martin. Go on, Tim, carry on with the West Ham situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, because they're a team in form at the moment, and it's kind of, they are the team you want to play, because at the end of the day, you do want to put a bit of distance between you and them, and obviously you just want to win anyway, because continuing to climb the table at this point in the season is incredibly important. But they're a team in form, and it's away, so it's a bit stressful. And yeah, we've been good in London for the last couple of years. We don't really go to London and lose much, which is always a positive. I think the only place that's really our bogey place is Crystal Palace, and we seem to have got over that, judging off our previous performance there. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. They're a team in form, and we're a team that hopefully will now try to beat, you know, a Spurs team that has been really, really good the last few weeks, and now come up against a West Ham team that's again been really, really good in general, and then go and capitalize on that as well. And that's the kind of stuff that builds form going into that, and then a Brighton team that's going to be, you know, ready for us and think that, you know, they've handled us once, why couldn't they do it again? And we need to go into that game and hammer them too. So it's going to be an interesting weekend, and it again, it's just another game where we need a performance like that, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely, Mick. I mean, like you said, we don't want to get too overly confident after that performance, but you've got to get some confidence, haven't you? Because the fact that we've had the ball in the back of the net, you know, more than zero times, more than once, more than twice, you know, it's such a great feeling. It's like we're sat here now, and like, you know, we'll happily be on Twitter after. We'll happily, you know, Matt's probably playing FIFA right now, because Matt doesn't like playing FIFA, does he? After Liverpool get beat, you know. So if he's watching this, hello, Matthew. But yeah, mate, you've got to take some confidence going to that. And the next few days now, it's Friday tomorrow. We're like, oh, the fuck, we're not playing Saturday now. We're fucking playing Sunday. We want to play the next game like tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've just seen a quote from Klopp. What I saw tonight, that's who we are. That was us. I can't sum up any better than that. That was a return. Not completely, because we're missing fucking major players, but 80% of what we're about, that was all on show tonight. Like we said, Millie, fucking, he was the fucking the chief of that tonight. If you wanted to pick one player, it was the epitomise what the Liverpool spirit is about. Millie showed that in the second half. He was fucking everywhere. But then, like I said, everyone was good. Bobby was good. Trent was good. Like Hendo at the centre half, fucking hell, so good. Phillips, when he came on, headed and everything away. Robbo was doing his up to his Man City tricks, just running everywhere after the ball, closing everyone down. Everyone was on it tonight, and you could see it was a message before they went out there, like, let's not give these a fucking inch. And that's what we need to do every game. Like, we've been off it last couple of weeks since, this is our first win in the league, isn't it? So since Crystal Palace, so it's been a long time coming. But if we produce even 70% of what we showed tonight, that'll be enough to beat West Ham, because we were just too good for Spurs tonight. So yeah, it's positive signs, and it's a step in the right direction. Like I was worried about tonight. Like I was confident, and then because I thought Fabinho would be fit, the fact that he weren't, I was a bit like, it evens the playing field a little bit more. The fact that we've still gone there and beat them in the way that we did, in the manner that we did, in such a tight game against a really good Spurs team, is testament to how good this team is. The fact that we're missing so many players and we can still put in a shift like that, it's just like, these players are so good, and we just need to try and replicate that performance as much as we can. If there's any thing we can do, is go, right, look at that West Ham second half and just repeat that over and over for the rest of the season. I mean, we don't know what's going to come in the last 3 days transfer window wise, but I don't imagine we'll get anything, and I think the players probably know that as well. So we just need to make do. Fucking don't know what we're going to do with Matip. Just fucking wrap him in a fucking cocoon somewhere, or in a fucking rocking chair, and just go, just sit there for a bit, mate, and chill, and you can come back in 6 weeks or whatever. But yeah,
it's like Dave said, Dave said he was made of quavers, which I just thought was brilliant. So I don't know what's going to happen with the transfer window. I really don't. It is a bit of a wake up call for the owners or the club or whatever. Whoever's making the fucking decisions should just look at it and go, right, we've just lost Matip. Fabinho's out as well. I don't know what's going to happen Sunday now. We don't know what the centre back pairing been. I think Tim, you said there was like, what, 11, 12 centre back pairings before the season, well, as the season started. I mean, that's how many we've had since the season started. It's fucking ridiculous. But you know, the club's always been quiet when it comes to transfers recently since the Van Dijk incident. So who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it could be the most exciting transfer window we've had since Conor Flianka, because that was a very exciting transfer deadline day, wasn't it? So you never know what could happen.
I've got a stat here for you, Tim, that I think you'd enjoy. Liverpool have started with 11 different centre back partnerships in 20 games. 11. That is fucking mental.
Tim, did we just say that? We just said that, didn't we? Mick was clearly not listening to us. Well, we just fucking said that.
Well, I mean, but then again, it's as crazy as that is, having watched every game, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. And look, but the man. That's brilliant. Yeah, but I mean, but the problem is that we keep having midfielders fill in their positions and just be absolutely fucking fantastic. Mr. Jordan Bryan Henderson was fucking incredible tonight. He didn't look a step out of place. He had a ball through, the ball over the top for Mane for the first goal was superb. So yeah, it just as big of a problem as it is, it's been minimized by the quality of the midfielders that we've been able to put in their positions. So yeah, I mean, if we can figure out a way, and I think certainly it's I mean, if Bobby can play like that every week, I don't think we're going to lose. But if we can push Thiago further up the field and have him playing like and connecting the front three like he did today, it's going to allow us to.
you mentioned
But yeah, it's going to allow us to play more like the Liverpool we've been used to watching without having to stress about the centre back situation. So for me, as much as the centre back situation is still an issue, and we absolutely do need to bring in a centre back before the 31st. For me, if we're going to be able to play Thiago in an advanced position, and I mean. It's incredible to see that, you know, how different we are when Firmino and Trent are in form. Just the creativity of it just goes through the roof. And I give some credit to Robbo as well, because they had absolutely nothing going down that wing. Like, I don't even think they went down there once. So credit to him too. He was superb.
Yeah. Man of the match, Tim, quickly.
Jordan Henderson.
Good lad. Good choice. Mick, anything different?
I don't think you can. I mean, there's so many great performances. It's either Trent or Hendo for me.
Another good choice. Yeah. Fucking give it.
David Lynch has just tweeted saying that friend of the show, David Lynch. Joel Matip's injury looks serious.
Great. Okay. Fucking hell. Amazing. I'm not finishing this podcast on a fucking negative.
You've got zero senior centre half, so. I mean, if Klopp wants to just exaggerate it a bit longer, he's going to be out for months, Matip, just so FSG go, right, here's some money then.
I'm all for it. The season.
We'll see. But for the meantime, boys, I'm just made up that we've managed to hit the ball in the back of the net more than once. I'm made up we've got the 3 points. Let's keep it going, and we look towards West Ham. I want to say thank you to everybody who's joined in on the comments today. Kai Butler, we appreciate you coming back, mate. Gav, again, with an absolute stormer there. Martin, for obviously, you still do a fucking job. I've always thought you play and look like James Milne, to be fair, mate. Dan's been back on the show as well. Hiya, Dan. Oh, Greg's back as well. Nice one, Greg. And have we missed anybody? No, David Rowland, there we go, as well. Maybe like the bag of quavers. Yeah, thanks to everybody else who's joined us tonight. And yeah, we'll see you at the weekend, where hopefully we see the same Reds again. Podcast Network.